Hello and welcome to One Inch Per Scary Podcast. This is Kirsty Sayer. I am back in my minivan. It is summer now, and so the kids are home, and my recording studio has become my minivan once again. But I am finding that it is difficult even then to find a soundproof environment. I've had to move twice now because birds. Once because of passing cars and trucks, and then the birds were getting too screamy in the woods. So now I'm at a park. And I am going to try this one more time. Let's see how it goes. I am excited to talk to you about the second in my installment of the What If series. Last week, I talked about how I was getting into this spiral, this downward spiral of confidence. And I was really getting into what I called a middle school mindset. And, you know, in middle school, it's developmentally appropriate for when you get setbacks to sort of have that, I suck and I can't do anything right sort of response. But it's certainly not where I want to be at this point in my life. And so shortly after that began, I woke up and wrote some what if questions in my journal. And last week I talked about how I used the first one, what if my success is a foregone conclusion and I can just work confidently and calmly and optimistically and competently toward that outcome instead of worrying, and the freedom and the permission to stop worrying about my future and to really see it as a foregone conclusion helped me to change my life in literally a day. I was able to accomplish so many things, and I was able to put things into motion that same day that really changed the trajectory of my life. I got to go on a trip to Mexico, which really reworked the narrative I've had around May, which has been an extremely triggering time for me in the past with regards to PTSD. I was able to apply to a grad school program at the university my children go to. And even though it was after long past the deadline, I had the confidence to keep pushing and to also put together a application that I was really proud of. And I felt really sort of showed me to be a strong candidate. So all of that anxiety being lifted from just that one mental adjustment made a really huge impact on my life in a very short space of time. And this next what if question has done the same for me. It's difficult to pinpoint huge dramatic events that have transpired because of them, but it has changed my perception in a more subtle, but a really, really freeing way. And so without further ado, let's talk about that what if. You're not behind. If you didn't listen to last week's podcast, just jump in here. They don't build on each other. It's just a separate issue altogether. So today's question is, what if I took the energy I've spent on trying to manage the perception of others regarding me, myself, and my work, and instead focused only on managing my perception of myself? So what does that even look like? What does that even mean? Okay, first of all, I want to give you a wonderful piece of news. The first piece of news is that there are probably people out there who already don't think you're awesome, who already think you suck. Honestly, if you're putting yourself out in any way, if you are on a path to any kind of success, if you are living your life in any way close to your potential, there's a solid chance that there are already people out there who don't like what you're doing, who will criticize you given half the chance, who have talk bad about you behind your back. That's happening. Guess what? Because those people, that's what they do. Critics criticize. Let them be. Let them do what they do. And you do you. Okay? If you don't believe me, let's consider some of your most beloved heroes out there, dead or alive. Your hero could be a celebrity, a sports star, it could be a philanthropist, it could be a philosopher, a historian, it could be anybody. Let's talk about Mother Teresa. Did a lot of good. Objectively, it can be said that Mother Teresa was really a real powerful agent for good, right? We think. No, who could hate on Mother Teresa? Guess what? Mother Teresa has her haters. Even now in death, people still talk badly about Mother Teresa, and they have all sorts of reasons why Mother Teresa wasn't all that. This is how it is. Life is just that way. There will be haters. There are critics. We need to accept that you yourself will never be perfect enough. You will never be able to put out a flawless enough product that will be immune from criticism. Because critics exist to criticize. That is what they do. Just let them be. Birds fly, dogs bark, critics criticize. Let it be. All right. So if you can free yourself from having to do things so perfectly so that they can be immune to criticism, you are going to find that you can do so much more. I have found that to be true. The sooner I embrace the fact that there are people out there who are looking at what I'm putting out and saying that is trash. Also, she's trash and she's doing this for this bad reason and that bad reason. I bet her whole family's embarrassed about her. She's so unattractive. Why is she even like putting a video out? Her voice grates. She's blah, blah, blah. If I am aware that that's happening and just being like, okay, cool. So I've given the critics something to do. I am so much more likely to keep putting things out there than if I am like obsessed with getting it so perfectly so that nobody can say anything bad about me, or looking so flawless on camera that nobody could possibly say anything bad about me. That is impossible, right? You will never be able to achieve any kind of situation in which you are free from criticism, because critics exist to criticize. It is what they do. Live your life and let them do what they do. So reminding myself that every single time I am inclined to sell myself out, right? To sell myself out that day in terms of not getting done what I set out to do because I thought perhaps somebody will think this is not good enough. I'll do it tomorrow when I can do it more perfectly, or I can redo it, or I can look better or sound better or know more or whatever. I know that at the end of that day, I will have sold myself out because I asked myself how I feel better about myself. When do I perceive myself as more effective? When do I perceive myself as most helpful? And it's basically when I'm doing shit, when I'm actually doing things rather than thinking about doing things or planning to do things or having good intentions of doing things. I feel good about myself when I actually do the things. And it's regardless of how well the things turn out, right? I always feel better when I go on a run that was trash, that was so slow that I might as well have been walking, or even if I run when I have to walk several times. I feel so much better about that run and about myself at the end of the day than I do about not having run at all because I just wasn't feeling it and I knew it wasn't going to be fast, or I'd eaten a big meal, or I was kind of feeling crampy, or whatever it was. I feel so much better about myself after a bad run than I do after no run at all. So I decided, what if you start to manage your perception of yourself and really focus on how will Kirsty feel good about Kirsty at the end of the day? How will Kirsty be less likely to criticize herself at the end of the day? And Kirsty is pretty easy on Kirsty at the end of the day when Kirsty has done stuff, even if it wasn't done really well. That's what I discovered. And I find that Kirsty is pretty common. Kirsty feels about herself the way most people feel about themselves when they've been highly productive versus when they've only planned on being productive and then they stopped themselves from doing what they thought they were going to do that day because it wasn't quite good enough, or it wasn't quite perfect enough, or they worried what others might think. So I discovered what makes me feel good about myself, and then I set about making sure that I try to make myself feel better about myself at the end of the day. And for me, productivity is key. doing the thing. I used to think that it was key for me to do the thing brilliantly, and now I've discovered it's not at all. It's key for me to do the thing. So whenever I'm going to let myself, my perceived critics out there, like shout me down and say, don't do that today because you're off and you're not very articulate today, or you really aren't looking great today. It's going to take like at least 10 pounds of stage makeup to make you look in any way like, you know, worthy of video. I say to myself, yeah, but how am I going to feel at the end of the day if I don't get this done? And then I realize I'm going to feel incomplete. I'm going to feel frustrated. I'm going to feel stuck. I'm going to feel embarrassed that I let, at 43 years old, other people decide what I'm going to get done that day. And I think, I don't really want to feel that way. I don't want to feel embarrassed by myself. I want to feel like a grown up. I don't want to feel like an adolescent who's scared of what other people think about myself, because I'm 43 now and that ship has sailed. I need to start feeling good about myself. And I feel good about myself when I get shit done. Okay, so the next thing I think about is, the next question I think of, how else do I feel good about myself? Well, I feel good when I'm helpful. And again, that's getting shit done. If I haven't helped somebody in a day, I feel very incomplete. And I like that to be measurable, and it's not always measurable, right? But I know that if I do what I've set out to do in some small way, even if it was imperfect, there's a very good chance that even in my fumbling, awkward, verbose way of telling the same story over and over in different ways, which I could have easily told in 2 minutes, there's still a much better chance that I reach somebody out there that needed to be helped, just as I was helped by other people when I was in a desperate place, than there is if I just sit at home and I don't talk at all. And having said that, I'm going to take a quick moment to take a drink of water and have a sponsor break. And then I will be back for another insight, which has helped me immeasurably in feeling more confident in awkward situations. Be right back. And I'm back. Okay, so in approaching moments of insecurity in terms of putting ideas out there, so my product is ideas, and I realize what has helped me has been to understand that my ideas, there's no new idea in the world in terms of what I'm putting out there in terms of psychology or self-help or, you know, brain hacks or whatever. There are very few new ideas. And so I realized that I am somebody who packages good, science-backed. Usually I try, you know, I vet them. I make sure that there's a lot of people a lot smarter than I who have vetted these ideas to make sure they truly are legit and they're worthy of being shared as helpful. And I realized that I am somebody who packages things and delivers them. And I imagine myself, and this might be helpful to you in whatever it is that you deliver in life, as a delivery person. And you know, when we get a package from somebody, you know, delivering something, UPS say, from Amazon, I'm pretty sure that the UPS guy or gal does not come to the door fussing about, well, I hope that, you know, they like the way that I hand this package over. I hope that they're happy with the way I look today, if my hair is just right, or they like the way I said, here's your package, could you sign here? I mean, that's ludicrous, right? And so I tried to remember, you know, in a service, I'm trying to do a service. I'm trying to help people. And so the packaging is not as important as the intention and is not as nearly as important as the follow through, right? Doing it and doing it consistently. So, you know, I think this is another thing. If we are so worried about the packaging and the packaging is us being perfect, we fail to realize that what we really have to offer the world is our ideas, our talents, our being, our essence. And it doesn't matter what those the packaging of those things look like. What matters is that we deliver them, that we show up. We just need to show up. We don't care what the UPS guy looks like. We just need him to show up with our package. That's the guy we like, the guy who shows up on time every time we have a package. And so realizing that when I show up, I'm useful. And if I show up for myself, I like myself, has been incredibly helpful in overcoming these insecurities. And that another trick that I always tell my kids is if you are encountering an awkward situation where you are meeting new people or walking into a room with a bunch of people there and they're looking at you, and or you're even, say you're, you know, a mom and you have to put on a swimsuit now and you just had a baby and you're walking into, you know, the city pool or whatever, the best way to overcome the insecurities and the hang-ups about any of these situations where we're apt to be self-conscious is to go into them with the idea of, and I got this idea, I think it was from Glennon Doyle, who I absolutely love and recommend you listen to whenever you can, is to go into these situations by saying, "There you are," instead of "Here I am." And it's like, "There you are." And I always add in my mind, "How can I be of service? How can I be helpful? How can I make you feel better than you felt before?" And it, even if it is me walking in somewhere with my freaking swimsuit on and my blinding white legs at the beginning of summer and feeling all kinds of weird of all kinds of ways because of my social conditioning and all that nonsense, to feel weird and exposed, I can instantly turn off those voices, or at least get them a lot quieter, by saying, "There you are. Look at all you lovely people. Here we are all gathered in the warm sunshine. Thank God it's finally freaking summer in this place. How can I be of service? How can I make you feel better about being here?" And I'll give a big smile and make eye contact or smile at a kid or pick up a pull toy for somebody or do something useful. And that is an instant way to turn off insecurities. And to, we can do it in really every regard. If we're starting a new job, if we're interviewing for a job, how can I be of service to you? How can I make your day better? If we're just feeling bad about ourselves, it's because we're turning inwards. It's almost always because we're obsessing about what's going on with us. And the best way to do it is to turn outwards and say, "There you are. How can I make your day better?" And I've found this to be absolutely flawless in terms of creating so much more confidence and sort of turning off those voices and the fears of the critics and the insecurities and that self-consciousness. It works every single time. And I am so grateful for that tactic that is totally taken from Glennon Doyle. So bless that woman. Another thing that I really have to say is, in life, as in everything, we need to recognize, as I've said before, hate is going to hate. Critics are there to criticize. Let them be. But honestly, just another way of saying that is, play to your fans. You have fans. And if you think you don't have fans, then I'm your fan, right? I'll be your fan. I am your fan. And I'm telling you, you're doing so much better than you think. And what you're putting out in the world is so much more valuable and helpful and good than you realize. Everybody is doing so much better than they think. I've yet to find somebody who is not doing better in some area that they're feeling really insecure about than they think they are. I have yet to find that to be the case. So, stop paralyzing yourself by trying to win over every single person. Again, you cannot win over the critics. The critics are there to criticize. It's what they do. Let them do what they do. Okay. Even if the critic is your parent or your sibling or, like, you know, whatever, let them be. Let them do what they do, and you do you, boo, because really that's the only way to live our life. We cannot live in the cage of our critics' opinions. No, we just can't do it. So play to your fans. If you really are feeling like you need a boost, imagine your fan smiling to you, and play to your fan. I play to the person out there who is in their dark room like I was, when I'm doing these podcasts, I'm thinking of somebody who's hiding under their covers in a sad little dark cave, and they just need a friendly voice telling them it gets better. You can do this. Carry on, because there were people out there for me and I owe my life to them. And so I don't play to people who think that I'm too wordy or too this or too that or whatever it is that I am. I know that I'm not flawless, and I'm perfectly fine with not being flawless, so long as I'm reaching some desperate person out there who is totally worthy of being reached. So that's the fan I play to, and it doesn't have to be a fawning fan, and it's probably better if it isn't, honestly, because unless they're my husband, who is a stalwart fan of mine, and nobody could have a greater fan in life, fans come and go, right? Just like critics come and go. We've got to play to the person who needs what we have. And if you think about, you know, a Broadway star, they are not playing, they are not getting on stage hoping like hell that out there there's somebody who really, really appreciates heavy metal, that just, you know, heavy metal only fan who is just there to watch them perform show tunes and is just going to be blown away. That's not what they're doing. They're playing to the people who love Broadway, right? And they are playing to their fans, and they have the confidence and the joy in providing what their fans have come there for. So if you're starting to get hung up on what non-fans or critics are thinking, play to your fans. Realize whatever it is you're doing. If you're an accountant, be the best damn accountant, knowing that you're there to serve somebody who needs counting. You know, if you are a receptionist somewhere, just know that you can be the best damn receptionist. You can answer the phone and have the most pleasant interaction with a person that they will have all day. And, you know, play to the people that need you. Play to the people that need you. Those are the fans. So this is how I have managed to quiet down that compulsion of being perfect enough, which is a complete myth, so that nobody can criticize me. And the thing is, there is a compulsion, and that's because we are wired that way. If somebody says to you, and I don't know if I said this in the beginning or if I said this in my first attempt at a podcast before the birds got screamy, but if somebody says to you, it bears repeating even if I've said it before, I don't give a crap about what other people think about me. Well, if you say it, and I've been guilty of saying this, I maybe felt that way for 5 minutes at a time. I just don't even give a crap what people think about me. That's a fib. Either they're telling it to you or they're telling it to themselves, because we are wired as human beings to care what other people think about us. We are. It's primal. It's necessary. We need to be able to pick up on social cues and obey social cues so that we can thrive in societies. We are animals of, what's the word? We are communal animals. We need to be around people, and we will not thrive if we honestly and truly in our souls don't give a crap about what anybody thinks about us. But the best way to handle that primal instinct and that primal drive is to replace that person that you really can't control their perception with one who you can. And that again is you. So when you're inclined to, when your primal desire to be loved and accepted by people kind of goes into overdrive, replace those nameless critical faces, or even the ones which have faces and names, with your face and your name. How will you, Nancy or Ted or whoever it is that's listening to this today, feel about you at the end of the day? And then do that. And usually that's just get the job done. Just do what you were sent here on this planet to do. You do not have to do it perfectly. Just get the damn thing done. All right. Finishing something badly is almost always better than not doing it at all. And remember that we grow in confidence and in competence when we actually just freaking have some enough grit to just make ourselves do it. Today I saw a guy out running, and I freaking wanted his rock star attitude so badly today. I was like, okay, can I please take some of what you have and carry through my day today? Because this guy was super overweight. He was running in a way that was clearly awkward and uncomfortable, and there was no part of me that either pitied or mocked him. I just thought, damn it, there is a guy who's pushed back against every kind of resistance today. He did not worry about what his body was telling him. He did not worry about old habits. He set out to freaking go for a run today, and he put his feet on the pavement and did it. And you know what? Driving by was a woman who really needed to see it, and she cheered him on, and he was a hero to her today, and hopefully to you too. And anybody else who might have driven by and perhaps criticized him, very possibly there was nobody who did, but if they did, they criticized him for a moment, and then they went on their way, forgot about him, and went back to criticizing somebody else. And at the end of the day, that guy did not let any of that stop him. He did not let his old habits stop him. He did not let his body stop him. He did not let the fact that it's humid and buggy out there stop him. He set out to run today, and he did. And he's a freaking rock star. And so, you know what? Take that rock star energy, get out there, and just do the damn thing you set out doing. And I guarantee you, you will feel so much better about yourself at the end of the day. And little by little, what the critics have to feel about what you put out there will matter less and less to you until you are free from that. All right. And with that, I will bid you adieu, because I have got a run scheduled and I need to get that done. Thank you so much for tuning into my podcast, whether this is your first time or your 20th. I am so grateful to have you as a listener, and I am going to ask you to please share this with others. Also, it is helpful to me if you will rate this, hopefully highly. I'm not going to insist upon it, but if you will rate this and also share, comment, let me know what you think. All of these things are helpful in me getting my podcast more widely listened to, and I would really like you to help me in that. I'm not ashamed to say it. Thank you so much, and I will talk to you again soon, because I have more of those what ifs that are changing my life. Take care. Have a great day. Bye.